my dear friends in Christ, first of all, a liturgical comment. We have today a Sunday with a strange-sounding name, Septuagesima, the first of three that serve as a transition from the joyful season of Christmas and also Epiphany time to prepare us for Lent. Lent is so important that we must prepare ourselves mentally and dispose ourselves to make a good Lent. And so these three Sundays, this short period of 2.5 weeks, beginning with Septuagesima, serves as a transition. And we notice that the Alleluia verse is omitted at Mass, and the Gloria is omitted on these Sundays as well as during Lent. It is interesting that in the new church, in the Novus Ordo church, these Sundays have been eliminated and are simply called Sundays of Ordinary Time. So this season of Septuagesima, which begins to prepare us and dispose us to make a good Lent, has been eliminated. So let us begin to think about Lent, which is just 2.5 weeks away, what we will give up during Lent, what we will do to make a good Lent, and again to begin to prepare and dispose ourselves for that. Now, in today's Gospel, we have a familiar story, a parable from our Lord about laborers in a vineyard. And the man who owned the vineyard went into the marketplace, and it was customary for men who wanted to work that day to gather in the marketplace, hoping that someone would come along and hire them. So here, these men were hired. And the owner of the vineyard went out in the third hour, and again the sixth hour, and again the ninth hour, and found men standing around that hadn't been hired. And so he sent them into his vineyard. And he didn't agree with them on a particular wage. The wage at that time was a coin, usually referred to as a, I can't think of the term for it, but this translation here, a penny a day, was maybe not the best translation, but it was a coin that was the day's wage. And the ones who went out at the beginning of the day, a denarius, I guess it was called, those at the beginning of the day had made an agreement to work for a denarius, the typical day's wage at that time. And notice that when the master of the vineyard went out the third hour, he simply told the workers who hadn't been hired, go into my vineyard and I will give you whatever is just. So they hadn't really agreed to work for a certain wage. They trusted that he would be fair, give them what was just. And so again the sixth hour and again the ninth hour. And then the 11th hour. That's interesting because they had a 12-day work day. That was a standard work day at that time, was 12 hours. So he went out at the 11th hour back into the marketplace and found still a few men whom no one had hired all day. And out of a concern for them and their families, he hired them and sent them into his vineyard. And in one more hour, when the workday was over, he told the steward to call the laborers and pay them, and pay each of them the denarius, the coin for working a full day, and begin with those who were hired at the end of the day, at the 11th hour. Begin with the last, even to the first. And of course, those who were hired at the beginning of the day were very upset and indignant that those who were hired at the end of the day got the same wage that they received. And not only that, but they were particularly thinking that they should get more. Yet they received what they had agreed to work for. Now this gospel has several applications. One application from one of the fathers of the church is interesting, that these periods, from the first to the third hour, then the third to the sixth, and so forth, indicate different ages of the world. So those who were first hired would indicate or symbolize those who lived from creation up until the time of the flood, up until the time of Noah. And then those from the third to the sixth hour who were hired at that time would indicate those human beings who lived from the time of Noah up until Moses. From the sixth to the ninth hour, from Noah up until Abraham. And then those the sixth to the ninth hour, those who lived from the time of Abraham up until the time of Moses. Those who were hired at the ninth hour and worked from the ninth to the 11th hour, those who lived from the time of Moses up until the time of Christ. And then those who were hired at the 11th hour and only worked from the 11th hour till the end of the workday would indicate us. All of those who have lived from the time of Christ up until the end of the world. Now, as I said, this is an application given by one of the fathers of the church. I don't remember St. Augustine or which one. But it is interesting, and it is taken from words of St. Paul in one of his epistles, referring to us as those upon whom the ends of the world have come, those who've lived in the latter age of the history of the world. And we can see that even though we have lived in these latter times, we have certainly not been less privileged, but even more so than others who lived, especially those who lived before the time of Christ. But an application that is most often used of this gospel and that naturally suggests itself is the different stages of the workday, indicating the different periods of one's life in which an individual is given the grace to love and serve God, to know and love and serve God. Think about those who have loved God and served God from the time they were children, who have taken their faith to heart, they were taught their catechism, and they practiced it and lived it from the time of their youth. Others who perhaps for a period of time drifted away from their faith or never knew the true faith, and then were given that grace and then began to serve God from that point on. And then there are even those that we referred to as deathbed conversions, those who are called, as it were, at the 11th hour to love and serve God and begin to do so even at the end of their lives. And there are such. And we see God's mercy and goodness because he gives them grace. He gives all of us grace at different points in our lives. The important thing is that we cooperate with grace. And we have to be very careful not to be dwelling on and judging other people or asking ourselves, well, why does God give this person or that person so many graces? And sometimes we can be jealous because we think that we have received less than someone else. But as the master said to the workers, friend, I do thee no injustice. God is just and fair to all. But yet, he is free to do what he will with his graces. And so therefore, to some, he gives more grace than he has given to others. And this reminds me of a statement made in the Imitation of Christ that I would like to read. He that has received fewer must not be troubled, nor take it ill, nor envy him that has received more graces, but attend rather to thee, to God, and very much praise thy goodness, that thou bestowest thy gifts so plentifully, so freely, and willingly, without respect to persons. All things are from thee, and therefore thou art to be praised in all. Thou knowest what is to be given to every one, and why this person has less and another more is not our business to decide, but thine, who keepest an exact account of the merits of each one. How true that is, that we should concentrate on cooperating with the graces God has given to us and make use of them and strive to become a great saint. Notice that what happened at the end of this gospel, that the workers who came at the end of the day were envious. We have to be so careful of the sin of envy. We can become envious of others because of they're better provided for materially. Maybe they have more talents, abilities than we do. Maybe they have more friends. They're better liked. They seem to be more popular than we. But think rather than what we don't have or what others have, think rather of all the blessings God has given to us that we don't deserve, and be grateful for those. And notice also that spiritual envy is the worst kind of envy. To be envious of another because God has given this person more graces, or at least we think so. And this serves no purpose, because it distracts us from being grateful for and cooperating with the blessings God has given to us and making use of them to become a great saint. So there are many applications, as we can see, from this gospel. The important thing is that we work out our salvation. And St. Paul talks about the people of the Old Testament. And he ends up by saying, with most of them, God was not well pleased. They had been given many blessings from God. You read the Old Testament, the history, and think of all the things he did for his chosen people. And yet so many of them still fell into idolatry or squandered the blessings that God had given to them. May the same thing not happen to any of us. Every one of us has been given many gifts, many blessings, many graces, and we must make an effort to cooperate with these graces and to become the saint that God wants us to become. Not to dwell on and feel sorry for ourselves and dwell on what other people have, but rather to concentrate on the gifts that God has given to us and make use of them to become the saint that we can become. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.